Federal News Radio has been telling you about the government contractors cited for misconduct, and that's all in a report from the Project on Government Oversight. The organization looked at the top 100 government contractors for incidences of misconduct. Lockheed Martin topped POGO's list with 50 incidences, while no misconduct was found at 27 of the top companies. Scott Amey is general counsel and contracting specialist for POGO. He joins us to discuss why POGO has put out the report and how companies are responding to the findings. Good morning, Mr. Amey. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning, Jane and Tom. How are you?
Good, thank you. All right, so tell us why you put together this report.
Well, POGO's been putting together its federal contractor misconduct database since 2002. We realized back then, we actually started out working on a report on how the government suspends or debars federal contractors, or the lack of suspension and debarment against federal contractors. And that led us into, when we studied the regulations and the laws that are on the books, that the government is only supposed to contract with responsible contractors. And we realized at that point that there was no benchmark for the government to evaluate whether contractors were responsible or non-responsible. And so starting about 8 years ago, POGO put together a federal contractor misconduct database, and we've maintained that database through the years. And just last week, we updated that database with a new list of the top 100 federal contractors, data for up to through fiscal year 2009. And we also included now new links into the USAspending.gov database that's a federally run federal contracting database, so that at that point you can kind of have a one-stop shop for federal contracting. You can try to find as much information about the top 100-plus contractors that POGO has followed through the years.
And looking at the numbers that you came out with for misconduct by the top 100, my read on the numbers were that they're doing a pretty good job, that the numbers of adverse actions are pretty low, given the number of dollars going through there. What's your take on the numbers?
Well, it's data, and therefore you can manipulate data any way you want to. When you do look at the top 100 contractors, we found, and this goes back to 1995, close to 650 instances of misconduct, and POGO evaluates 18 different types of misconduct. So there's everything from environmental cases in their import-exports, contract fraud, grant fraud, ethics violations, up to health violations and environmental violations. Then we also found with those, what we've been able to identify is $18.7 billion worth of fines, penalties, settlements paid over that good course of that 15 years. Now, the question goes back to what haven't we found? Some of these settlements are non-disclosed. Some of the amounts aren't disclosed. So I think we're kind of scratching the surface with the data that we've been able to put together. But we hope it gives federal government officials, contracting officers, suspension debarment officials, the benchmark that they need to make better contract award decisions, as well as accountability measures on the back end.
You know, surely these issues and misconduct and some of the concerns that you cite, environmental concerns, health concerns, have been addressed. These are major contractors. These are the biggest contractors that do business with the federal government.
Certainly. And I would hope they were addressed in most cases.
But do you follow up on that, or do you just put the information out there based on a 15-year track record?
Well, we put the information out there, and if we receive updates or in company press releases, legal press releases, government press releases, we include the remedial measures that have been implemented by the contractors. And that's why we put it out there, is to try to follow patterns. You know, if somebody had a violation maybe 10 years ago and they've been had a clean track record since then that may be something that a government contracting officer or suspension debarment official isn't going to worry about. But, you know, if they've had a pattern, every 2 years they have some kind of tax violation, they have a contract fraud violation, then that should be something then that the government says, okay, if we're going to contract with you again, we want to make sure that we don't repeat these same mistakes, and therefore we need some kind of new internal ethics or compliance or business cost systems that need to be improved to make sure we don't repeat the mistakes of the past.
We're speaking with Scott Amey, general counsel and a contracting specialist for the Project on Government Oversight. Now, the administration has given the General Services Administration the role of combining a whole bunch, I think five or six different databases on contractors into one master database for use by and in the government that will contain contractor misconduct. What will your response be to that? Will it put your database out of business, or will you contribute to it, or will they use your methodology to populate their database? What's going to happen there?
Well, that's a great question. I don't see them kind of using our database. The methodology that they came up with is a little more limited in scope, and the types of cases are limited. So at that point, we're going to probably be more inclusive than they are. The other difference in the database is that the government database is going to be publicly available. It will only be available to government officials. So it won't put our database out of business until they kind of mirror each other more succinctly, because until they expand the type of information that's included in their database, as well as make it publicly available, we feel like we're providing a worthwhile resource to not only government officials, who I get a lot of great feedback from who use our database, as well as the public, because the public isn't going to be able to see the newly created FAPIS database, the Federal Awardee Integrity and Information System database that it was just brought out on April 22nd.
And what's the reaction from the contractors that are named here? Clearly, they must have explanations for a good deal of this and think it just paints one picture that really isn't the entire picture.
It does, and that's one of the things that POGO does, is we send all the contractors that are included in the database letters, and we spell out the instances that we found that we're going to include in our database, and we ask for them to respond back to us to help either clean up our data, help us, you know, work out resolved cases, things that may have gone through a legal proceeding and have been resolved in their favor, or even an administrative proceeding. And so then we actually post those. So when you go into a POGO's database, you'll find information about the companies. We link to their press pages, their ethics pages, their lobbying pages, their, campaign contribution pages, you name it. But we also then have links on there to the letters that we've sent to the contractors, as well as their responses. We want those contractors to respond. We want their spin placed on it, because anybody that uses it as a resource, you know, should be able to see if they think it was a minor violation or it was resolved in a certain way, they should, you know, the public should be able to see the contractor's response. So we beg them to actually respond. And I was actually on the phone yesterday with a contractor saying, send me something. All the things that you're telling me on the phone, send it to me in a letter or in an email so that I can post it and make it publicly available.
Because it's also fair to say that in many cases, especially for the publicly traded contractors, their compliance auditing and the other federal contract auditing that they do means that they themselves are the ones that sometimes find instances of overbilling, for example, and tell the government about it.
Certainly. And obviously, you know, that ends up being a very large mitigating factor when the government is taking a look at the instances that come before it, how it's going to proceed either civilly, criminally, administratively. But, some of these can be passed off as just unintentional instances and costs of doing business. And these contractors are very large with very, very large business systems. But at the same time, about 15% of the cases that we have in our database, just for the top 100 contractors, are cases in which judgments have been come out against them. There's been guilty pleas, or they've been found guilty by a jury. So, you know, 15% of our cases are ones where there's been a final disposition of some kind of liability. And therefore, you know, I just don't want to pass them off as being just cost of doing business, or that, you know, these are very large contractors. And as Jane said in her introduction, you know, we have about, I think, 27 contractors that have zero instances of misconduct in the top 100. So, you know, there are companies that are doing things more ethically or doing them better than certain other companies that, you know, have 40 or 50 instances.
Or maybe that are smaller companies. We're talking to Scott Amy, General Counsel and Contracting Specialist for the Project on Government Oversight. Because, you know, when you have a major contractor, let's just take the one at the top of the list, Lockheed Martin. I mean, the amount of federal contracts is just staggering. And so, you know, to have one problem or two problems, or in your case, you point out 50 since 1995, you know, I mean, that could just be the just vast amount of contracts that they are undertake each year.
Certainly, and that's one of the things that maybe we're going to have to go back and do, is add the number of actions or the number of contracts that they have. And that's where, when you look I get the question a lot, who's the worst contractor in your database? And it all depends on how you want to sort the data. The number of instances, it is Lockheed Martin, but they're also number one each year on the, you know, on the contract award dollar list. So at that point, you're right, they have a lot more federal business. If you look at misconduct money, the amount that they've paid in fine settlements, penalties, then, you know, actually, it actually switches from the defense contractors actually over to the pharmaceutical and the oil companies. So at that point, you have Merck, Glaxo, Pfizer, Exxon, BP, Royal Dutch Shell, you know, in the top 10 on the, when you'd look at the fines and penalties paid. So at that point, it's a public resource for the public, the media, members of Congress, government officials to use, the contractors to use themselves any way that they see fit, and to weigh the data in any way that they see, you know, fit for their purposes.
Well, Mr. Amy, we thank you for joining us today to talk about this, and an interesting resource. I'm sure lots of people are interested in the information. Some are going to be happy and some will not be happy.
That is true.
Well, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Tom and Jane. Thank you very much.